other group of religious teachers who seem to have they seem to be on a different wavelength, a different planet. And I think there's a challenge for me, and perhaps a challenge for you as well, to ask, are we in tune with Jesus Christ? Surely the most important thing for us as a church is to look like Jesus, to sound like Jesus, and to do the things that Jesus would want us to do. That's a huge challenge. I don't know if you feel that challenge, but I do. I ask myself the question, am I a humble person? Am I really a humble person? Am I a merciful person? Do I really care for people the way that Jesus cared for people? These men who took their friend to see Jesus. Such incredible needs out there. And the great challenge of this particular passage about Matthew is that Matthew was the last person you would want to help. Are there people in your life? Are there people in my life? I would say, I'm okay to help people, but not that one. Not that one. I hope God doesn't ask me to help that one. It's a challenge, isn't it? The amazing thing is that the person that Jesus helped is the person that wrote Matthew's gospel. That's what you call transformation, isn't it? He became an apostle, became a teacher of the way of Jesus. His life was so different from the way of Jesus. And then his life was so in tune with the way of Jesus that he became one of the people that took that gospel out into the world. So we want to think tonight about the call of Matthew, to think about the motivation for the call. Secondly, the nature of the call. And thirdly, the results of the call. And I'm going to put most emphasis on the motivation. You know, if you see me sort of spending a long time on point one and think, oh, there's point two and three coming, it's mainly point one. But two and three will follow quickly afterwards. So the motive of the call is highlighted by Jesus when he says to the Pharisees, go and learn what this means. That's like a big signpost to us in this passage, that Jesus is saying, you guys don't understand what I'm about. You guys don't understand what makes me tick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. That's a wonderful, wonderful phrase. I desire mercy. You ever wondered what Christianity is all about? Ever wondered what it means to be a Christian and to follow the Christian life? It's summed up in that phrase from Jesus. I desire mercy. Do you desire mercy? Is that what gets you out of bed in the morning? So what does that mean? Mercy. The mercy of God. Well, in the Bible, this word mercy is not an easy word to translate. In the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, and the Greek, they have this word hesed, which it's sometimes translated mercy. It's sometimes translated loving kindness. And then in the New Testament, the word for mercy and the word for compassion, it kind of overlaps. So in our English Bibles, we have all these different words like loving kindness and mercy and compassion. But in the original languages, they kind of overlap. So mercy is compassion in action. Mercy is both feeling compassion and then acting upon it. It's one thing to feel compassion for someone, and it's another thing to do something about it. And we see in that first story that these men had compassion on their friend, but it didn't stop there. They did something about it. They not only had compassion, but they showed mercy. In the Old Testament, we have some examples of human mercy. We've got Joseph and how he forgave his brothers. And then in the New Testament, probably the greatest example is in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We all know that parable. I'm not going to tell it again tonight. But how was that parable interpreted? Jesus said to the teacher of the law, out of all the people in the story, which is the one that was the neighbor to the man who was beaten and bruised? And Jesus said, the man said, well, it's the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So mercy is relief or aid given to someone who is needy, someone who is in debt, someone who is not expecting or even deserving to be noticed or given favorable treatment. And that was certainly the case with the Jewish man. The last person he expected was a Samaritan. Jesus is God on earth, and we're looking at what makes him tick. We're looking at his life, and he's saying, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. God desires mercy. The high point of the revelation of God in the Old Testament is on Sinai, when Moses says to God, show me your glory, or we can paraphrase that as, show me what you're like. I really want to know what you're like. Would you give me a glimpse of what you're really like? And the Lord says, I am merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, but not overlooking sin and not overlooking justice. But the first two words he uses is merciful and gracious. And some of the Puritans, they reflected on this. And one of them, Richard Stibbs, he said these words, if we would know the name of God and see God as he is pleased and delighted to discover himself to us, let us know him by these names that he proclaims they are showing that the glory of the Lord shines especially in mercy, in that compassion in action. In one of the great passages of the New Testament, Ephesians 2, which speaks about salvation, it speaks about how we come to faith. The turning point are these words, that although we deserve the wrath of God, because of his great mercy for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. It is by grace you have been saved. But mercy also refers to compassion in action towards all kinds of human needs. Think of someone who is grieving. What is one of the great passages that we maybe write in a card and send to someone who's just lost a loved one? one of the passages that I often write in a card is these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Again, you see that the word for compassion and the word for mercy is closely linked there. When we pray to God, one of the words that's often on our lips is the word, have mercy. Most famously in Psalm 51, when David had done terrible things, and if God was simply a God of justice, there would be absolutely no hope for David. Absolutely no hope. For he was a murderer and an adulterer. And how does his prayer begin? Have mercy on me, O God. And even though he did not know Christ, because he was writing maybe 1,000 years before Christ was born, he knew that in the character of God, there was not only justice, but there was mercy and grace. And so he was able to pray. There, at the end of the prayer, then I will teach transgressors your ways. That he had known even in that prayer an assurance that his prayer had been heard. In the Gospels, we have the Canaanite woman whose daughter was suffering terribly. And she called out to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. There was the man whose son had seizures, who called out, Lord, have mercy on my son. Two blind men at the roadside, have mercy on us. And the crowd was saying, be quiet, be quiet. Don't disturb Jesus. And they shouted all the louder, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. And Jesus went across and he said, what would you like me to do for you? And he said, we want to be able to see. And it says that Jesus stretched out his hand. He had compassion on them. And they were healed and they could see. And then in the book of James speaking about what is true Christianity, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, is this: is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And he says that faith without works is dead. That it is not enough to simply have compassion on the hungry, on the naked, those without clothes. It's not enough to say how sad it is that that is happening. He says that's faith without action. He's challenging us, what are you going to do about it? And he also says in that book that mercy triumphs over judgment. And if God only helped those who deserved it, he would never have arrived at Matthew's tax booth, would he? And it's terribly judgmental of us to think that there would be anyone that would be beyond our need. Because that's putting ourselves over others. It's very challenging when we look at the life of Jesus and we look at how he says, I desire mercy. That's what I'm all about. We're going to watch a video now, which is from The Chosen, which is a sort of film series about Jesus, which depicts the calling of Matthew.
Matthew. Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes.
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away. Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, no, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
I cried several times watching that. It's just something about the way the story is brought out there. And I particularly like the line to Peter. Peter says, you know, I'm not a tax collector. And says, this is different, Jesus. This guy's different. He says, get used to different. And just how Matthew joining the disciples would have been a huge challenge and would have changed them as well. So that nature of the call is a call to follow. And the simple application of that tonight is, if God calls us in mercy, do we follow in mercy? We often think, you know, following Jesus is about learning many, many different things. And there are many things to learn when we become a Christian. But the first and primary thing is, are we learning to be like him? Are we merciful? And we see in the story of Matthew that the first thing he does is he invites all the tax collectors to his house, and that they discover Jesus as well. And the results of the call is that he becomes someone who is able to write this amazing gospel. And perhaps the most famous part of the gospel is the Sermon on the Mount. And the most famous part of the Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes. And we have in the Beatitudes there that line which says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, Matthew chose to put these words in. He also chose to put in the parable of the unmerciful servant, the one who had received all the mercy from God but wasn't willing to pass it on. And so I think Matthew himself was transformed by that call and became more and more like Christ in showing mercy to others. We're going to sing two more songs, and then we're going to have a time of prayer, praying for God's mercy on others.